Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is Lynn York with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Well, I know we always usually start off with a joke, and to be honest, I didn't look up any jokes, but I'm just going to share a homemade joke, which I hope you find is funny. But at my household, we have four kids, but two of them are little, and they like to sing this little song, "Vegetables are yummy to my tummy tummy," but unfortunately, eating them does not go as well. And so we've been kind of raising the bar a little bit and saying, okay, you know, you've got to at least try it. And so that night, we had asparagus. And, you know, sometimes we've been doing more of the wait out game. And so here it is, the asparagus is on the plate, and Lily was like, "Mommy, I took a bite of ascariest." And it's like, yes, you are acting like that's the scariest vegetable there is. But anyway, so that's our homemade joke for today. And I'm gonna be talking today, shifting gears. Of course, we've been talking about the heart, and today I'm going to be talking about the grace-filled heart. All right, if you want to join me, we'll go ahead and stand up, and we'll read the vision. To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And we're going to keep with the same foundational scripture. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. Well, Father, we just thank you for this day, God. I pray, Lord, even in this moment, God, that you'd show us more of your grace. Today, I pray, Lord, that you'd wash our eyes, God, that we would just see the majesty and the beauty of your grace, and that we'd want to welcome it into our hearts, Lord. Have your way in our hearts today. We love you, Lord, and we ask it in your name. Amen. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to have you open up to Romans 5, and bear with me. I have had this Bible. Some of you know my story. I really grew in my faith in college, and I'm older now, so I've had this Bible a long time, but it's really hard for me to part from it because I know where things are located, and I just have an affection for this Bible. So my version is the New American Standard, and of course, we have New King James, so anyway, just bear with me as we go through this. But we're going to read from Romans 5, and we're going to start with verse 14, which says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression." And I'm going to stop right there and just talk about a gift. Last week, it was our youngest child's birthday, and he turned 4. And when he woke up, Lucas was like, "I want my presents. You know, I want my gift." And, you know, I've been involved, you know, with like Secret Pal things, you know, and even if it's a little, you know, post-it note packet that you get, there's something about getting a gift, and it's exciting. And so when we read this, I want your hearts to be open, to be excited about this gift that God is talking about. So starting again with verse 15, "But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For if by the one transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So I want to back up and talk about verse 17 there, and I want to talk about the word receive, because I really believe that receive is foundational for us in accepting that grace. So I want to give you a picture. You know, let's say you get a package from FedEx on your front porch. And let's say that's now, you know, the gift is come. It's my birthday. No, it's not my birthday today. But let's say it is, and I've got this gift waiting outside. Now, I have to open the door to get the gift. And then I have to get a pair of scissors or a knife to actually open it. So there is something in that whole receiving. I had to actually receive that gift. I really could leave. I could have left it out there forever. And maybe after a week, somebody's like, well, hey, that looks like a nice package. I'm going to receive it. You know, so, but there is an imperative there. So much more those who receive the abundance of grace. Well, I looked up that word abundance in the Greek, and man, it means super abundance. Man, it's not just talking about abundance. It's super abundance of grace. And this word that I'd never heard of before, I think it's called surplusage. So I'm thinking that means a surplus, tons of it, just tons of it of grace. And the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. So again, we want to receive that abundance of grace. And I want to talk about that definition of grace, because I feel like it's imperative that we accurately know what grace means. And in the Greek, it means the divine influence upon the heart and its in the reflection in its life. And when I read that word influence, it just made me think how many things in the world influence our hearts. I mean, we're probably not even aware of things that are influencing our hearts, but they are influencing. You know, we can look at media today. You know, we are being influenced by what we hear, by what we see, how our heart is responding. You know, social media, same thing. You know, how are we receiving that? And of course, other influence. You know, I think of a common, you know, DUI. You know, driving under the influence. You know, there's another substance that's influenced me. There's something that's come in and influenced me out there. So again, that's just a beautiful picture of grace. Going on to Romans 6, 1, it says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? And I love that. Again, grace, sometimes I feel like we can confuse grace with forgiveness, but grace is power. Grace is the enabling divine influence. I can't change myself. I can't, it's not me influencing my heart. It's God's divine influence upon my heart to change me. And it makes me think of that example that Ryan has given us with a heart surgeon. You know, even if I was a heart surgeon, which I'm not, you know, I have to go to the surgeon. And as I was driving today, I just was getting that picture, you know, of our hearts. So let's say, which I hope I don't have any of that, but let's say that there's blockage in my heart. You know, I need a quadruple bypass surgery. There is blockage. And just hang with me tight. Just think of that, like sin is being a blockage. And it's Jesus, if we are in Christ, it's Jesus' blood flowing in us. There's sin blocking. There can be that blockage, and we need a surgeon to help us. The Holy Spirit is going to be helping us with that surgery. And we need to even show up to the appointments. You know, I don't have the authority to go to Miami Valley Hospital and say, I found you on the internet. You're doing a heart surgery on me today. You know, no. First, I probably was experiencing symptoms. You know, there are symptoms. There are symptoms of sin in all of our lives. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we have been saved by grace. It's through faith we've been saved by grace, the divine influence upon our heart. So I might be having these symptoms. I'm meeting with a doctor. You know, God's our doctor. He's our great physician, not only of our physical bodies, but of our souls and our spirits. And we have to show up to those appointments. If I never showed up to the appointment, I probably would never get an appointment to get surgery. You know, I got to be conversing with that doctor. You know, this is what I found out. This is what's going on. And that's what the Holy Spirit does with us. You know, it's exciting and it's freeing. And talk about a heart that's clogged and arteries. You know, I'm sure if you talk to somebody, they probably feel like they've gotten their life given back. They might have more energy. They might be feeling a ton better. Things are flowing. Things are flowing. And that's what God's grace does in our lives. You know, I liken it to Niagara Falls. God's grace is like Niagara Falls. It's always there. Even as I speak, Niagara Falls is flowing. You know, it didn't stop just because I didn't see it. It is still flowing. And that's a picture I want you guys to think about with God's grace, that it's flowing and it's there and it's available. But we have to humble ourselves. We have to go to that grace. And I'm just going to kind of talk about some things that might hinder that. So hang with me as we talk about that. So I don't want you to get discouraged by that. You know, I'm going to read just a little bit more from Romans 6 here. And I don't know if I put 14 in there, but I'm going to share 14. And it says, "For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." And for those of us who have asked Christ into our lives, that's true. You know, we have to have Jesus in order to get this grace. "What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? May it never be." You know, we don't want to put sin under a rug and never deal with it so it can increase. God says, "May it never be." "Do you not know when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness?" And I want to talk about that real quick, because in James, it talks about don't be deceived. Sin, I mean, for us, you know, even as believers, we don't want to say sin results in death. He talks about in James, and in the verse right after that, it says, "Do not be deceived." So there can be a deception in that, but obedience resulting in righteousness. "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart." There it is again. We need that heart condition to that form of teaching to which you are committed. So, you know, there are patterns and habits in our lives that are hard to get rid of. And you know what? That should be really freeing. I mean, sometimes I think we might put all this pressure on ourselves. You know what I mean? Like, I need to change myself. Well, my efforts are probably in vain. You know, I need God's grace. And that's where lasting impact is going to happen when we have that. And so to encourage us, I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 12. And this is Paul speaking there. He's got a thorn in his flesh. And in verse 9, it says, "And he said to me, my grace," that's God's grace, "is sufficient for you." So I want you to receive that right now. "For power is perfected in weakness." How many of us really view our weakness as a moment and a tribute to God's power? I think we can get really discouraged in our weakness at times. We might like focus on that weakness, but God says, "No, I want you to boast in your weakness, and I want you to receive that grace that's flowing and it's available for us." I also wanted to share just in Hebrews, this verse. I did not include that in my verses for the media, but Hebrews 13:9 says, "Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace," divine influence upon our hearts and the reflection in its life, "not by foods, though which those who were thus occupied were not benefited." So again, we do not want to be carried away by various or strange teachings, which leads me to things that I feel like, and these are only going to be a snippet of things that could prevent grace from coming into our hearts. And one is deception. I feel like right now we are in a different time. You know, we're all experiencing this together, and I feel like deception is rampant. And it's really hard to know what to believe. You know, you hear things, what is accurate? I don't know. But praise God, He knows. And the Holy Spirit is going to lead us and guide us into all truth. That is His role. But I want to give you some examples that came to my mind of deception. So my grandma, and this has been years ago, she's no longer living. But she, as she got older, she had osteoporosis. And so what happened was she had weakened back vertebrae. And so this vertebrae would break. And then she had to go in and get surgery. They cemented it. And it was almost like a domino effect because then her next vertebrae would break, you know. And so she went through a lot of pain. And bless her heart, I mean, she didn't complain a lot about it, but she was in extreme pain. Well, they gave her some pain medication. And I tell you what, this pain medication, she could not handle it, gave her hallucinations. So there was one time I was visiting with her, and literally, I was in mid-sentence with my grandma, and all of a sudden, her eyes just start tracking something. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, what does she see? And she was like, Lynn, there's a bird in the house. And I was like, oh, grandma. Like, I'm telling you the truth. You know your granddaughter loves you, and I wouldn't lie to you. There is no bird in the house, you know. But man, that can be true of us. Do you realize that? We can believe something in our minds wholeheartedly, and it's a lie. But yet our senses are telling us it is true. In our mind's eye, this is true, and it is not. And it's scary because it seems so real. But I just want us to be on guard because the evil one wants us to be deceived, because that's how we will become ineffective for the kingdom, is when we are deceived. The other example that came to my mind was, and again, I already shared, I went to Ohio State. That's really where I grew in my faith. And when I was a freshman, I started in a Bible study, and man, I never had read the Bible on my own because I wanted to. And anyway, she led this Bible study. There was probably a group, five of us girls, and we would, you know, go up to her dorm room. She was a fifth-year senior and a RA, like the residence advisor for that floor, and, you know, we would learn of her. Well, the next year, she graduated, and there was a group that became missionaries, and she went to Central Asia, did a year mission work, and it came back to us about maybe halfway through that all of a sudden, they believed something false. They believed no longer, their purpose to go there was to share the gospel. They believed something, and it shook my world. They didn't have to share the gospel anymore. Muted. They said nothing. And I was like, how did this happen? I mean, literally, it was like a shaking. And at that time, Jesus, I felt like He was teaching me, like, Lynn, I have to be your foundation. You know, people that we can think of certain things, you know, there's just shakings that go on. But from that, I was like, Lord, it just humbled me. I'm like, may I never be led in deception. Like, this was a gal that I looked up to, mature, but yet she got deceived, and, like, things went totally, totally different. The next thing that I want to talk about as well is pride. I think pride can come in the way at times of us receiving grace. You know, it says in the word that He gives grace to the humble, you know, but He resists the proud. And, you know, I think Pastor Fred talked a couple weeks ago about being stiff-necked, you know, and I want you to think about, you know, a lot of us didn't grow up on farms, but, you know, if you've ever seen that picture of oxen, and Jesus actually says, take upon my yoke. Jesus wants us to be yoked with Him. So it's like, okay, we're yoked, but He's leading the way. He says, my burden is light. But what happens in that time, if a stiff-necked oxen comes, they're put in their head. They don't want to be yoked. And that's God's authority on our lives. And it's, again, that's almost a form of deception, and it can be pride all at the same time when we want to do our own thing and not come under His yoke and to receive His grace. The other thing that I want to bring up is just different tests and trials. Of course, that was our foundational scripture from Proverbs. And I believe that there are short-term trials in our lives and there are long-term trials in our lives. And that, you know, at those point in time, we have to not lean on our own understanding. You know, there is going to be a testing time for each of us. You know, as Pastor Fred said, that's part of the curriculum. You know, and who in here says, I'm ready for a trial? I remember one time I prayed that my sophomore year. I was learning about trials, and I prayed for a trial. Oh, Lord, I went through the biggest trial of my life. And I was like, I will never pray for a trial again. You know, but in that said, the reality is it is good for our development, and it doesn't feel good. But, you know, God says we're to rejoice when we go through trials because it is refining us and we're becoming more like him. So I'm going to talk a little bit about trials. If you do have your Bibles, we are going to flip to the Old Testament, to 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 22. And this summer I read 2 Chronicles, and really it 2 Chronicles talks a lot about the heart. And you see, we're going to be talking about some kings, and I can't name all the genealogical kings, but you see this ping pong effect. Like, here we have a king that was faithful, and his son was unfaithful. Faithful, unfaithful. So hang tight with me. So we're going to read in verse 22. It says, now in the time of his distress, this same King Ahaz became yet more unfaithful to the Lord. So that word distress means to cramp. And I don't know, I'm sure all of us have experienced a Charlie horse. I mean, instantly, me just even saying that, I can think of what a Charlie horse feels like. Man, that's like the most major cramp that you can feel. And I went through a time where in the middle of the night, like it'd be 2 a.m., all of a sudden I'm woken up like, what's going on? You know, like major cramp. And what do? We want to get rid of that cramp, and we want to get rid of that cramp now. You know, it's like our first instinct. I'm going to massage that cramp. Maybe I'll run to the kitchen and get a banana. You know, I heard that as I got older. Potassium, you know. We want to do something to get rid of that cramp. But we all have tendencies in ourselves, you know, of how are we going to respond when we have a cramp? You know, and granted, there are some healthy responses. But, you know, in our flesh, there's some old responses in us of a distress when we are going to be cramped. And are we going to go to God's grace, which is sufficient? Or is our flesh going to go to an old thing that's going to help, you know, relieve stress or a distress? But really, it's almost a deception in that. So as we can see here, King Ahaz, I want you to focus on that, became yet more unfaithful to the Lord. So as we look, then as we go down to 2 Chronicles 29, King Ahaz died and his son Hezekiah became the king. And in verse 2, it says, and he did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. So I want to stop there and go back to 2 Chronicles 28, 24, because here it gives us context, and it says, moreover, when Ahaz gathered together the utensils of the house of God, he cut the utensils of the house of God in pieces, and he closed the doors of the house of the Lord. So that would be like us closing the doors, you know, maybe breaking all the guitars and, you know, all the utensils, all the things that help prepare us for worship. Breaking all of those, closing the doors, and then Ahaz made altars for himself in every corner of Jerusalem. So what do we have going on? Pride. He said, it is about me, me. And he is shutting all of those doors. But Hezekiah, again, verse 3, so he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he repaired them. In verse 5, it says, then he said to them, listen to me, O Levites. And here I see even Hezekiah becoming a leader. He said, consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the house of the Lord, the God of your fathers, and carry the uncleanness out from the holy place. So consecrate means to sanctify or to be clean. And Kenny, I didn't use that example last night, but we've all been dirty. And Kenny, my husband, works in construction. And so there are times, you know, when he takes off his socks, you can see a total dirt, like where his socks were, they're clean. And man, that's not a sun, that's dirt, you know. So I'm sure all of us, you know, when we are dirty and get clean, oh, it's refreshing. You know, it is refreshing. And I think that God gives us that example, you know, bodily example. That's the same spiritually. That is the same spiritually. So they're carrying the uncleanness out from the holy place. Then when we jumped to verse 10, it says, now this is Hezekiah. Here we go. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel that his burning anger may turn away from us. And I love that. Right then, his heart is in relationship with God. His heart is covenant. Ahaz, you know, from what we read, it looks like his heart was about himself, you know. But Hezekiah, no, his heart was a covenant, a relationship. Then as we go down to verse 16, it says, so the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. And every unclean thing that which they found in that they found in the temple of the Lord, they brought out to the court of the house of the Lord. Then the Levites received it to carry it out to the Kidron Valley. And again, I love thinking about that inner part, because right now, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are the temple of the Lord. And we have inner places of our hearts and our souls that we don't even know, but God knows. He wants those inner places of our heart, you know, and so looking at that, you know, they went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. God wants to cleanse our heart. Those inner places, those deep places, those places that we don't even know. You know, I know that there's parts of my heart that I don't even know, but God knows. And he's in this cleansing process. The Holy Spirit comes and he helps us with this cleansing process. In verse 19, it says, moreover, all the utensils which King Ahaz had discarded during his reign in his unfaithfulness, we have prepared and consecrated. And behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. So again, they're preparing those things that were discarded and consecrated them. In verse 28, it says, while the whole assembly worshipped, the singers also sang and the trumpet sounded. All of this continued until the burnt offering was finished. Now, I do not know enough about the burnt offering, but Jesus Christ is our complete sin offering. His blood, and we're going to talk about that. His blood is what has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And so he is our offering now. So now at the completion of the burnt offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed down and worshipped. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the officials ordered the Levites to sing praises to the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with joy and bowed down and worshipped. And I just love that whole picture. You know, here was a community that was kind of in ruins, and now Hezekiah has become the leader, and he's restoring those things that were broken. He's opened the doors. He's restored those broken utensils. Man, I just love reading that. It's like, man, you're seeing joy. People are worshiping again with joy, and they're singing praises.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.